Lord God, we ask you now that as we open your word, you would open it to us. Lord, it is true, we want to grow. We want to see and understand. We want to hear, Lord, and then be doers of what we read and what we hear. Would you fill us with your spirit? Would you cause it to be so for your glory? Lord, would you grow us up and allow us to be used for your kingdom? As we study together, Lord, teach us what you've got to speak to each one of our hearts. For we ask it of you, and we believe, and we look to you, and we listen in Jesus' name. Amen. The last time that we got together, we finished up in Luke chapter 17. We got all the way through verse 6. I'm going to read you verse 6 again so you can kind of get a running start at it. The Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, the size of a mustard seed, you might say to this mulberry tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. He was talking about faith. Faith doesn't have to be big. Faith has to be in the right one. If you put your faith in God, it can be a little bitty, but if you've got it in God, you know it's going to work. That's what he wants us to do. Now, he wants us to not to just be sure that we don't overestimate ourselves or our service to him. So he's going to talk about that now. And when you're walking in faith, you're going to see lives change. You're going to see things in your own heart change. You're going to see things happen. When they start happening, you might have a tendency to think that, hey, we're doing pretty good. And so he says, now look at this. Verse 7, which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say to him by and by, when he has come back from the field, which would you say, what would you say to him, go and sit down to food or to eat or to meat? Will you not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I can eat, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards you shall eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? And then King James, I trow not. Or, no, I don't think so. He says, you know, when you got a servant and your servant's working out in the field, the servant comes in, you say, hey, sit down and eat. He says, no. Normally you'd say, all right, I've got some guests here and we're going to eat in about 45 minutes. Would you get it ready for us? And then once it's all ready, I want you to serve me and my guests. And of course, once we're finished, you need to clean the place up because, you know, it's going to be a mess. That's what a servant does. And then, do you thank the servant? He says, I don't think so. Notice, he says, so likewise, or you, the same way you now, when you shall have done all these things which are commanded you, you'll say this, we are unprofitable servants. Why? We have done that which was our duty to do. He says, after you realize that we're servants, he says, you're going to say, you know, I've been an unprofitable servant. How come? Because I have only done what he has commanded me to do. I haven't done one inch or one thing above what he told me to do. And he says, do you think the servant who just simply does what he's told? He says, no, I don't think so. What's he teaching us? Don't overestimate your service to the Lord. And we have a tendency to overestimate ourselves. Don't figure that because you and I are serving faithfully, that we deserve some kind of special commendation. Or that we deserve some kind of special recognition or some kind of special notice of some kind. Don't figure that. He says, no, no, no. Serve. Serve humbly. Just serve. You know, sometimes we think that we should be more highly esteemed. And so we say, yeah, I'm leaving this church. Man, I've been serving for a year and nobody's even said thank you. Well, if I'd have known that's what you're doing it for, I'd have said thank you before you started. Hey, thanks. Now it's done. That's all you wanted? We have a tendency to overestimate our service. And Jesus said, no. Really, if you're going to be honest, you're going to say, I'm an unfaithful or unprofitable servant. Why? I've only done what was required of me, what was commanded of me to do. We need to stay humble. Now, of course, people are telling you, you know, your self-esteem is too low. Oh, your self-esteem is not too low. What gives you a clue that your self-esteem is high is you're working on your low self-esteem. Think. Sure you are. If you didn't care about yourself, you wouldn't work on it. So you got your high self-esteem. That's your problem to begin with. You know, when someone throws a punch at you, you duck. You like you so much you don't even think about ducking, it just happens. You know that, don't you? One of the ways that you know you're really into you is when you say things like this. I say this quite often at home. I'll say to my wife, "Are you hungry?" What am I saying? I'm hungry. Self is. Why aren't you? My wife never eats, you know? And she goes, "No, I'm not hungry." "How could you not be hungry? I'm starving." Or my favorite line is, "To death. I am starving to death. I haven't eaten 3 hours." Have you ever said this one? You're sitting with a bunch of your friends and you go, "Is it cold in here?" Haven't you ever done that? What are you saying? Self is cold. If self's cold, everybody's got to be cold. Are you kidding? You say, "Is it cold in here?" And people go, "No." Of course it is. It's cold unless it's 90 or above, for crying out loud. We all know that. You see, we overestimate ourselves. And Jesus warns his disciples, don't do that. Realize that he's going to take care of it. We've simply only done what has been required for us to do, nothing more. Here's a statement I have, and this is for me and you both. Be sure to leave it to the Lord to appraise your service. Does that make sense? Leave it to God to appraise our service to him. Don't leave it to your brothers and your sisters to appraise it. "Well, they could at least tell me I'm doing a good job." Wait a minute. You see, if they start appraising your service, what might they say? "Oh yeah, you're serving, you're doing great, but you could be doing more." You know that, don't you? You could be doing a lot more. You're more gifted, you're more talented. Oh, how many times I wish I was paid for every time a teacher in school told me that about me. I thought, if you could get a C and do nothing, why get a B? See, that's where I went wrong. I could do nothing and get a C, and the teacher would say, "You're not trying. You could do a lot more with your life." I'm getting C's, for crying out loud. I'm pretty average. How many times have you been told that? You know, "You're not doing enough for God. Your service is not enough." Wait a minute. It's best not to look to your brothers and sisters to appraise your service. Let God appraise it. Sometimes they might look at you and say, "Man, you are the greatest servant since Moses himself." They might not be right. Or they might. It's just best not to even deal with that. It's best to let God appraise our service. Let God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We need to be careful of that. Don't figure, I said it before, I'm going to repeat it. Don't figure, because you and I are serving faithfully, that we deserve special commendation. Because the truth is, if we're going to be honest, we're just going to go, "This is what God has commanded me to do. Nothing more, nothing less. It's just simply what God has said I should be doing." It's a humility issue. Listen to this. Romans 12:3. "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Soberly. Galatians 6:3. "If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Philippians 2:3-7. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Even God the Son came in the form of a servant to this earth. Now, he is almighty and he has all the power that there is. What would you do if you had all the power that was available anywhere ever? Right. Wash feet. Serve. That's what he did. Remember that? He washed the disciples' feet. Humbly serving. He came to Peter, and Peter just thought, "This is God. My feet are dirty. This is wrong. You can't wash my feet. That's gross, Lord. My feet are dirty." "No, you're the Son of the living God. You can't wash my feet. Don't do that." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me." He can't have any part with me at all. So Peter says, then dump it over my head. Give me a bath. Give me a whole shower. I want to have a part with you. And God says, you know, when you've been cleansed, and you have been cleansed, Peter, you don't need another shower. But you walk through this world, you get your feet dirty, you just need your feet washed. Jesus humbly served. That's what we want to do. Don't overestimate yourself. Just love the Lord and serve when you get a chance. And leave the appraisal of that service to Him. Leave it with Him. Don't leave it with your brothers and sisters. They'll either stop you up or knock you down. And either way, you don't need that kind of thing. So just leave the appraisal with God. And that's what Jesus is telling us. He says, you're going to remain humble. And you're going to realize, I'm an unprofitable servant. You're going to keep this humble attitude, just serving. Now, notice now in verse 11, it came to pass, as he went, Jesus, to Jerusalem. Remember, he's on his way to Jerusalem. He went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village. Verse 12 says, there met him as he entered 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Leprosy, as you read through Scripture, is a type of sin. At that time, there was no cure for leprosy. You see Miriam miraculously cured or healed of leprosy. And you see Naaman, who was from the north. And he was not a Jewish person. He was a Gentile, a heathen. And he was healed. Other than that, you won't see any healings for leprosy. And then here, 10 lepers show up and they stand at a distance. Why? Afar off. Because the law said they could not come within 150 feet of another person that wasn't leprous. The law said they had to move out and away from people, and they had to dwell in the law says, out in the wilderness, out of the towns, away from people that were healthy. Because others could, it was contagious, could catch the disease. If they were going to come near where other people were that didn't have leprosy, they had to yell out at the top of their lungs, unclean, unclean, so that no one would get within 150 feet of them. That's what the law required for them to do. So they're doing what the law requires for them to do. They are yelling out, but they are staying at least 150 feet away from Jesus because they are lepers. They have leprosy, so they can't get near Jesus. But this is what they yell out. They lifted up their voices in verse 13 and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They couldn't get near Jesus. The law wouldn't allow them to. They were trying to keep the law, even though one was a Samaritan. But they yelled out from a distance, from afar off, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I've talked with people who tell me this. I am so filthy. My life is so big of a mess. I am so messed up. I am gross. I couldn't come near Jesus. What do you say to somebody like that? You say, cry out to him right from where you are. Cry out to him now. Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. 10 lepers crying out from a distance. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. We need your help. They wouldn't come near so as to keep the law. But they cried out from right where they were. You can do the same thing. You cry out right from where you are. Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. What does Jesus say? Gross! No, he didn't say that. I just added that. When he saw them, he yelled back to them. And he said, go your, show yourselves unto the priests. Now, how many times have you read your Bible and gotten a response like that? I'm standing here, you're standing here, we got leprosy, there's 10 of us, and you hear Jesus coming by, we can't get close, but we could yell out, man, start yelling, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Go show yourself to the priest. Thanks. Needed that. Feel better now. God bless you too, man. Be praying for you. Hope the family's fine. Go show yourself to the priest. What have I got to show him? I got leprosy. I look over at the guy. I look over at you and go, man, you're ugly. You got it. And he'd look at me and go, you're getting no awards, buddy, because you got it too. Well, that was great. Nice response from God. Go show yourself to the priest. You ever read your Bible? You're hurting. And you cry out to God, show me, Lord. Tell me what to do. And God says something like, rejoice. Thanks. I'm brokenhearted. I'm confused. I'm scared. And you say, rejoice. You notice something? What does the rest of the verse say? And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. How many of them were cleansed? All of them. But that means they had to turn around and actually start walking. They wouldn't be healed until they turned in obedience and acted on what he said to do. I could have stood there going, show myself to the priest. I could have also turned around going, okay, great. I'm going to go show myself to the priest. And he's going to go, unclean, get away. Wait, what do I do? I've still got leprosy. Turn around. Still got leprosy. Start walking. The leprosy disappears. You remember Naaman way back in the Old Testament? He wasn't a Jewish individual. He came from up north. He was a barbarian, a heathen. And he heard that the God of Israel could do miracles. And Naaman had leprosy. Do you remember that? He had leprosy. And he heard that that God, the God of Israel, could do it. And there's a man of God who speaks for the Lord God. Remember the prophet? And if you go see him, God will heal you. I know he will. So here's a man that's not a Jew who says, I've got leprosy and I don't want it. I want to go and get healed. So he goes all the way down, comes from the north, goes all the way down to the man of God. And he says, I've been told that your God can do anything and I believe it. And so I've come here because I want to get rid of my leprosy. Can you heal me? Can your God do it? And what does the man of God say? Yes, my God can do it. Here's what I want you to do. Go to the River Jordan and dip in it 7 times. That's so stupid. You want me to what? You know, I'm a warrior. I have my sword. I'm a commander of the entire armies. You want me to do what? I want you to go to the river and dip in it 7 times. You know, that river's filthy. I came all the way down here. You know, we got clean, bigger rivers where I come from. Now, you want me to go to the Jordan and get in it and dip 7 times and like the Jordan, like I'm going to be healed, right? The man of God said, yes, sir, that's it. What did he say? That's stupid. That's ridiculous. That'd be embarrassing. So what did he do? Got on his horse and said, this is a bunch of baloney. And he drove off. Now, as they were going by the river, he had a little slave. It was a kid. I like this coming from a child. A kid who was Jewish and a slave of this man, servant, said, Master, now don't get upset. I'm going to tell you something. I don't get mad at me, but I got to say this. What? We're at the river. What's it going to hurt to dip in it? I mean, what is it going to hurt to do it? If that man of God would have asked you to go and stand on your head for 1 hour every day for 3 months and it'll clear your head and the leprosy would go away, you would have done it. If he had asked you to do something really hard, you would have done that. What's it going to hurt to dip in the water? What do you got to lose? You got leprosy. If you dip in there and you come out, still got leprosy, you lost nothing. Your hair would be wet. Okay, maybe you'd be a little wet, but so what? Naaman says, right, you want me to dip in the water, and 7 times and I'll be healed, right? What have you got to lose? Why not do what the God of Israel says? So Naaman gets in the water and dips in a few times, comes back up and still has leprosy. He goes, look, now look at me, I still got it. But God said 7 times. Do you know if he would have only dipped 6 times, he would have walked away from there with leprosy. But he, kind of embarrassed, thinking this is stupid, he dipped 7 times. When he came out the 7th time, what happened? The leprosy was gone. Now, how many times, Christian, have you and I been guilty of saying, I don't want this in my life. It's falling apart. It's a mess. And God simply says, well, just walk this way. Come on, I mean, I really need something to do here. I want out of this. People say, my marriage is falling apart. It's just breaking up. I can't handle it anymore. And you say, God says, love one another, Christ loves you. And then you start, they go, well, if you're not going to give me any good advice, I'll go to a counselor. Pay him $100 an hour, and he'll tell you to stand on your head for an hour every day, and soon your temper will be gone because it'll burst out, and then you'll be fine again, and your wife will love you. Are you going to pay $100 and go stand on your head, or do you just want to do what God says? Like the little Jewish kid says, hey, why not just do what God says? These men turned, and as they simply did what God says, they were healed. Yeah, what I'm telling you is, you want miracles in your life? You really want to see a change of heart, change in attitude? You want to see changes? Why not simply do, by the power of God, what He says? Because sometimes we go, that's so embarrassing, that's so stupid. You want me to dip seven times? Like, seven times is going to make it. It will, as a matter of fact. Well, the Bible says they were all healed. Simple faith, just taking the steps in obedience to God. Simple faith. Begin to believe what God has said, and by His strength, act on it. By His strength, act on what God has said. Well, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15 says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, glorified God. He gave praise and glory to who? God. He recognized this was a direct healing from God. And he came close to Jesus this time. Leprosy's gone. He can get right up to him. And he comes right up to him, falls down on this man, falls on his face at the feet of Jesus Christ, giving him thanks. And as a matter of fact, this man was a despised, hated Samaritan. But he fell down at Jesus' feet to give him thanks. Jesus answered and said to him, and this is a rhetorical question, weren't 10 cleansed? Weren't there 10? I mean, I know they stood off at a distance, but I counted 10. Weren't there 10 of them? The answer is yes. Where are the 9? That's easy to answer. You told them to go. You said go to the priest, and that's what they're doing. Notice one of them in his heart was grateful, and he stopped to give glory to God, and he fell down to worship Jesus and to give glory to Jesus and thanks. Everybody, there is very little real worship today in the church. Very little. I've heard people say this, well, we're running late for church. Oh, man, well, that's no problem. They're just singing right now. We're not going to miss anything. Worship comes from a heart that is grateful, that is thankful. We should be worshiping so much more than we are. Here's something that might surprise you about God. And the Bible's clear on this. God is looking for worshipers, not workers. Did you know that? God Himself is looking for worshipers, not workers. If you read in John chapter 4, Jesus speaking to the despised Samaritan woman at the well, He says this to her, the hour is coming, and it is right now, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. The Father is seeking those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Jesus was grieved. He said, there were 10 of you. I'm glad that you're here, but where are the other 9? Well, they're on their way. We should obey God, I believe. But in it, we need to obey with worship and thanksgiving. If you want to read Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, you're going to read this. Be careful or anxious or worry for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of the Lord, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you notice you're going to pray, you're not going to worry, and you're going to be praying with thanksgiving? You know, you're going to say things like, Lord, I don't know what's going on in my life. This is something I hadn't expected, and so I trust in you, and I'm asking that you'll help. And I thank you because you have been so merciful to me and so kind. I am grateful for all you've done, and I know that you will keep your promises, and I worship you, and I praise you. You notice how there's a heart of worship there with thanksgiving. Now, Jesus is going to say something very interesting to this man. Verse 18 says, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God except this stranger. Notice the others were Jews. He was a Samaritan. And he had the one from his heart. He was the one from his heart who gave glory to God, saying, thank you. And notice, he's still supposed to go show the priest. He's still going to do what God says. Jesus said to him, arise and go your way. You need to go to the priest now and do exactly what the law requires. Your faith has made you whole. Now you have just learned something in just that one verse that should change your whole life. Your faith has made you whole. What did he just say? How many were healed of leprosy? 10. How many were made whole? See what's important to God? I'm going to tell you right now. God heals. He can heal now. He always has. He always can and always will. He's a miracle working God. He could heal you right now. But if he heals you right now and he tarries and doesn't come back soon, you're still going to die. If he heals you 100 times and he tarries, you're still going to die. But you only have to be born again one time. You only need a change of heart or be given a real heart one time. Notice what God says is important. The others got healed physically, but you, son, you're made whole. You've gotten something that's much greater. You've been made whole. I have talked to people personally who tell me the reason I came to the Lord is because I wanted to be healed. And I've talked to people, they say, I had cancer and God healed me. And I say, that's neat because God can do that easily. How's your Bible reading? I don't read. You go to church? No, I don't go to church. I think I don't like church. Do you worship God? Do you praise? No, I don't. Well, what you're telling me is you came to the Lord, he healed you, and that's basically all you wanted from him. If I need anything else, I'll call you. Don't call me, I'll call you. That's what we call God in the box. Alright, you know what I need? Shove him back in. I'm done. You know something? This man's heart was changed. You want a heart change? Come to Jesus Christ. Obey him, yes, but worship and praise him. You know, people say, worship, I don't like the songs that they sing for worship. Then write your own. Because I'm telling you right now, if it comes from your heart, it don't even have to have a melody. It's worship to God, and it would thrill him. People say, I like worship, but I can't carry a tune. I mean, it's hereditary. My parents couldn't carry a tune. My brother is worse at carrying a tune than me. And I say, don't sing it, then say it. Just as I am, without one plea. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Say it if you can't sing well. But from your heart, say, Lord, thank you. You are so good to me. You can do anything. And Lord, I'm looking to you now. You know, when the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. He gave us a pattern, a prayer pattern. That pattern is 1/3 petition, 2/3 praise and worship. In that simple, short little prayer. Where are the other 9? And they're gone. He said to that man, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. You've been cleansed and considered righteous now. Much more great than all those nine who only got cleansed of leprosy. It's a heart issue. It's something that God will deal with on the inside of each one of us. I don't know where your heart is, but I know this. If you want to see changes in your own life, in your own heart, in your family, in your friends, where you work, where you do whatever you do, if you want to see that, worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. And obey Him. Take Him at His word. Ask Him for the strength to do it. Many times I've done it myself. I'll do it the wrong way, and every once in a while, God will allow me to do it right. And someone will come at you very hard. They're vicious. And you think, this guy's going to bite my head off. And God says, a soft answer turns away wrath. You crazy? He'll eat me alive if I just try to be kind. No, return good for evil. Don't return evil for evil. You know, I'm going to get a punch over here. Trust me. And so when someone's attacking you, you say, you know what? And you return good for that evil. You don't return railing for railing. And you're amazed at what God will do. You're amazed at what God will do. Wives and husbands, that's one of the things they'll say, I can't do that. If I do that, she'll walk all over me, man. If I do that, he'll take advantage of the situation and think I'm weakening. Wait a minute. If you do that, you may see miracles in your family. If you would obey God, if you would just by His strength do what His word says. Dip seven times, that's stupid. Well, that's what He wants. Be a little embarrassed and dip. And the leprosy's gone. Trust Him and obey and worship Him and praise Him. And read your Bible from now on. Open it up and read it like you really expect God is going to even speak to you out loud from it. Read it like you really think He's going to say something to you, and watch the difference in your life. Lord, let me hear what you're going to say, and read it like you know He's going to speak. He'll start. You'll see answers to your prayers. You'll see them. Of course, you've probably been seeing them all along, but you will actually start seeing them, recognizing them. He loves you. Don't believe anything else, because He said so. And that's the bottom line. When God tells you He loves you, it doesn't matter who tells you He doesn't. And I've had friends, when things have gone wrong in my life, they say to me, man, if God loved you, this wouldn't be going on. You know, and I, as a younger man, I'd fall for that. Yeah, you're probably right. If He loved me, why would He keep punching me in the face? Yeah. Yeah, He's lousy. Yeah, He's bad. Wait a minute. Eve said, you know, we can eat of all the trees here, all of them, except this one. And if we eat from that one, we'll die. And Satan goes, oh, you won't die. How many times has Satan ever said that to you? You say, I better do what God says. Oh, you don't believe. That's not going to happen to you. Wait a minute. Jesus said, look, just go show yourself to the priest. As soon as they turned and faith walked, they were healed. He didn't touch them. He didn't spit on them. He just said, go show yourself. Simple faith, simple obedience. Ask the Lord for the strength to do it. He does love you, and you will see Him move in your life. You will see miracles. Let's bow our heads together.